Hello, and welcome to the Small Business University audio series. This series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching small business owners how to run profitable companies. Each presentation features a different national speaker or business owner sharing dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Nearly every small business today has a website, some good, some not so good. Your website is simply an extension of your marketing program, and guess what? Poor marketing produces poor results. If you are going to invest time, energy, and money into a website, then it simply makes sense to design it to be as effective as possible. As you review your website, be sure to ask the question, what is my MWR? Most Wanted Response. Since most of us are not marketing people, much less web designers, we depend on others to do it right. You'll find this presentation to be a very effective filter to take a close look at your website to be sure you are not committing one or more of the 16 most common website mistakes. The good news is this. Rich Friedel will not just point out the problem, he'll provide some very specific information on how to fix the problem. This is part one of a two-part series covering the first 8 website mistakes most companies make. Rich Friedel is the former owner and general manager of Total Comfort Heating and Cooling Incorporated and Trivia Time Publications in Billings, Montana. Rich has over 30 years as a small business owner in the HVACR industry, starting as a helper for his father. Rich is somebody with bruises and battle scars that helped him grow, manage, and own his own HVAC contracting company for over 25 years. Rich knew that the future of his company was dependent upon a sound competitive marketing approach. Using his field and educational background, he developed a marketing plan that gave his company 23% of the city's market and made him the number one Bryant & Coleman dealer in the state. After 25 years, Rich sold his business, retired, and began developing marketing and sales programs for small business owners across the country. It's always more profitable to learn from others' mistakes than it is to walk alone. You'll find part one and part two more than helpful in revamping your website to be as profitable as you had originally hoped it would be.
Okay, I'd like to start this morning by saying welcome and thank you for spending your time with me so I can share my research on websites for service industry businesses. Okay. I think we would do well to start off with the understanding that the internet and your website is nothing more than an extension or a tool of your marketing plan. If you see your web presence as just another vehicle to get out your marketing message, to generate leads, you're going to do better to understand the research that I'm about to share with you. Small businesses just like yours, industry service businesses like yours, are flocking to the internet. The web's fast becoming a major channel for service sector industry people to generate leads and sales of products even. Additionally, thousands of people, your clients, your potential clients, are flocking to the internet to look for answers to their needs. After spending hundreds and even thousands of dollars for web presences, my research has shown most small businesses are extremely disappointed with the presence and the promises that were made for the internet. Well, I'm sorry to say that there are about two basic problems that come about with that. The first being there's no written plan for them. But the second, probably the most important one here, or actually is equally important here, is that graphic designers and technical developers are designing these websites and they have absolutely no marketing experience. Having reviewed literally hundreds of service business websites, I have found that they make the exact same mistakes over and over and over again. Now, there are many mistakes, but we're going to cover the top 16 most common website design mistakes that I found. And we're going to discover tips and tricks today on how you can avoid those mistakes. Almost all of these mistakes are being made by small businesses offline already. Therefore, their approach to their website is already coming with a flawed vision. Now, what we're going to cover is in no particular order here. So having said that, now, I'm going to tell you about our samples and examples we're going to use here. We're going to see in this seminar typical service industry businesses. And I chose two companies to use today at random. And I want to make sure that all of us understand that the industry I chose is in no way isolated. Simply put, all of your industries are guilty of this, whether you're a chiropractor, an auto repair shop, or an HVAC contractor. Now, I chose the HVAC industry, and I chose it because most of you here today are in the HVAC and plumbing and electrical industries. We're going to start here with our first website, okay? And our first website is JM Mechanical, and I chose Utah for obvious reasons. So this is a Utah contractor here, okay? Now, his website looks pretty good, right? Well, okay, let's take a look at it, and what we're going to do is we're going to put it through the 16 market mistake test here today. Now, the first question in marketing is what? What do you have to answer? Right, exactly. Why should I buy from you? You know, what makes your company different? That's the question you need to answer with your website or with anything. Now, this contractor operates in Cochise County. So we're going to do a little research real quick here. We're going to do an internet search. So let's do an internet search here. Let's go to Google. We're going to search him under furnace repairs in Cochise County. Okay, pretty good. He comes up on the fourth place. Now, why did he come up on the fourth place? Well, I want you to take a look at the bottom of his website. See all those cities listed there? Now, that's a technical designer's answer to search engine optimization. Now, it works. It's not necessary to do it that way, but it works. And what it did was it pulled up Cochise County, correct? Well, that's pretty good, okay? But he's got another one. Box Elder is another city. So we're going to do another search there for Box Elder and see. Boom, he comes up in first place. Well, that's great. The only problem with that, okay, is this. Research shows that if people are going to look for you locally, they don't use the city. For instance, if you live in Tampa, or if you live in Phoenix, Arizona, or if you live in Los Angeles, California, or Seattle, Washington, or New Jersey, you're not going to put in New Jersey or Phoenix or Tampa. You're going to put in what? Yeah, you're right. You're going to put in your zip code as well. So we're going to put his zip code in, 84326, and see what we get. Wow. You see that brown area? That's called a paid area or an AdWord area where you buy that section. That's a paid section, okay? Now, you see the third ad? It's our company, see? JM down here later on the page, okay? It's a free ad, too. So now he's got two ads. Now, here's the thing. This company could have just done one simple thing, and they could have gone ahead and not had to pay for this. They would have gotten free. All they had to do is add the zip codes to those cities. And that would have given them a local search criteria. And they would have popped up without having to pay for those ads. Okay. Now, that's just a simple thing. And what I'm doing here is showing you simple fixes. This is not the mistake I'm going to be talking about starting off here. Okay? I just wanted to get you into it to understand. Now, we're going to choose one of this company's competitors off of that pay-per-click area. Bingo. There we go. The first guy, Nearings Plumbing. We're going to use Nearings Plumbing and JM Mechanical here, and we're going to walk through the 16 mistakes here. Okay? Now, we're going to compare these two websites and see where they differ, if they differ. Okay? So, with the Nearings site, what is the first thing you see there? Okay? Yeah, a water faucet. Why? Because you see, the gaze of a website is no different than the gaze of any other ad. It starts from the top left, goes to the bottom right. First thing you saw was a water spigot. Then you saw the man with the child. Let's take a look at JM. What are you going to see on the JM site? It's a pretty busy site, but guess what? We see that water spigot there again. So how are we different? This is mistake number one, by the way. What's mistake number one? It's a big marketing mistake, period. It's not differentiating yourself from your competitor. That's the mistake. I don't know how many websites have you been to that they look the same. The functions are the same. All of the stuff is the same. They don't look any different. Probably a lot, right? Well, people go to your site to get information to solve their problem. And they're looking for you to have solutions to that, right? If your visitor doesn't have clear understanding of why you're different, you got 5, maybe 10 seconds, they're gone. They're out of there, they're somewhere else, right? And that's the internet. Now, here's one thing that you want to write down. Number one mistake is the number one mistake generally in marketing anyway. It's not differentiating yourself in a meaningful way. Now, what do I mean by meaningful way? In a sense, it's basically whatever you claim to have benefit difference, you need to make sure it is your customer's desire to have that difference. It's no use in gaining a unique advantage in an area that your customer just doesn't care about. In marketing, we call this a USP. That is called a unique selling position, and it should be throughout all of your marketing stuff, not just your website, I mean everything. It's your unique. It's what makes you unique over everybody else. That's the first lesson there. Okay, USP. You make yourself unique. Okay? Now, if you've done your job right, okay, your visitors will feel like they'd be foolish not to do business with you. Okay, I'm going to give you another acronym here. So write this down: MWR. We're going to talk a lot about that today. That's a key in any marketing, and it takes it right onto your vehicle advertising. It's called most wanted response. Okay? That's what we're talking about here today. Now, most businesses design their websites with absolutely no plan, as I talked about before. That's going to lead us to mistake two. Mistake two, no strategy to drive traffic to your website. And it all comes with a plan. Your web marketing plan should include, but shouldn't be limited to, some of the following things I'm going to go over. Now, we already talked about the first one. That's search engines, okay? Now, search engines, you have paid and then you have free, as we've learned. But before you even build your website, understand that search engines use things called keywords for optimization. That's one criteria, not all. Now, this way, you can build your pages, write your content for keyword search areas, such as furnace repairs, that kind of stuff. You should also use those keywords in your pay per click. Now, I didn't say don't use pay per click. I'm just saying sparingly use it. Try to get the free link instead of the paid link. As we saw when we started, both example sites do this. They both do this. Mediocrely at best, but they still do this. There's another thing that isn't talked about with search engine optimization, and that's called link strategies. What that means is that your site's linked from other sites. Other sites link to your sites. Complementary sites, for instance, like Business Auto Repair Guy, Chiropractor, HVAC Guy, Electrical Guy, all kind of share linking together, sort of a joint venture thing, right? Not only does these links begin to drive, you know, implied referral traffic to your site, but search engines like sites that are linked from other sites. For instance, if my site's got several links from other sites to my site, search engines really like that when they optimize. And that's as true for local searches as well as national or international searches. So those are the two basic things about search engine optimization. Okay. Now, I mentioned before, we have a thing called affiliate referral joint venture marketing offline that does this sort of synergy together with offline businesses. Now, my members of that group also do online as well now. Now, don't forget banner ads. That's another sort of strategy. Banner ads aren't dead, but don't be too wild with banner ads. You know, a nice placed banner ad on a complimentary site for someone else can really drive traffic, especially if it has a headline in it or something. Okay, so you might want to contact complimentary site people and in your local area and sort of link together. Now, I want to go back to our examples here. And as I said before, both use AdWord, keyword, pay-per-click type positioning. But that's only one strategy, and don't wrap everything up in that strategy. Now, let's do another search Okay, and we're going to go to Yahoo this time. That's a number two, or arguably number two search engine, right? Okay, let's see what happens. Boom. All right. JM comes up first in the first section. But there's no nearing site here, is there? Well, then he's all about paying per click, right? Let's go to ask.com. It's one of the top five. And see what we got there. Boom. Okay, JM is on the first view, but not the very first view, only ranked number one in the view. And those views on that site are sponsored, so that's a paid ad you're looking at there. Now, we're going to modify this once more with the zip code, 84326. We're going to see what happens here. Okay? Boom. Okay. Neither come up. Okay? Up on Yahoo. However, let's do an ask and see what happens there. Now, they both come up in paid sponsorship. This is a paid ad that they have. Okay? But neither are on what you call the first view section. And the first view section of a web page is what appears on your web browser without scrolling up or down. That's a key for search engine optimization there. Now, don't get too hung up on that, because here's one thing I do want to tell you about. There are companies in the last year or so coming out that are spending a lot of time, effort, and energy going after service sector businesses and trying to sell you $200, $300, $400, $500, $600 a month, guaranteeing you're going to get search engine optimization through their system. Don't do it. You can do this on your own. Every major web search engine like Yahoo, Bing, Google, Ask, all have a section that teaches you how to do the things you need to do to get those very same things without paying a dime for them. So don't do those. Those are cons, and I suggest you stay away from them. Okay? You can do this on your own. Like I said, it's called you go there and you go to each of these search engines and you type in local keyword areas, and they have a whole teaching area on there, and they're more than happy to teach you. Why? Because you're going to get some results there, because you're going to do some pay for click as well, right? Now, here's several more fixes. The affiliate program I talked about. This is the ultimate marketing strategy, as far as I'm concerned, for successful website owners here. I'm not talking about an affiliate program like you go to Best Buy, hook up as an affiliate to them. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is creating a local-based affiliate program with common customer-based type businesses. Chiropractor has the same customer synergy as an HVAC contractor, as a auto repair, as a window replacement, as anything else. They all have the same customer base. And so hooking up with them and doing some affiliate programs is kind of like having a group of commissioned salespeople referring people. That's pretty awesome. My question here is it's best to have website coming as type of referral. It's an implied referral. And how are you following up on your referrals today? That's another question, because just because you drive traffic to your site, if you don't have a way to follow up or you don't have a way to deal with them, you're dead in the water. I'm not going to get into that, but I just want to throw that in there too, okay? Now, to run a successful affiliate program, you're going to need some kind of tools to help out, such as, links and other things, but you might have email, e-sign marketing, advertising, including an opt-in situation, email addresses that you receive as you send out your email. I've had a lot of questions about bulk emailing, buying email addresses like you buy direct mail addresses. You can do that, but let me tell you, my research says don't. Just simply don't. Why? Because it's spam, and nobody likes spam. If somebody's given you their information, then they've given you permission to send them an email. Otherwise, don't. Earn the right to be able to communicate with them. And that's called opt-in email, and I suggest you really focus on that. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But e-sign advertising is much like email marketing. But instead of you sending out the emails, you hook up with somebody that sends out a newsletter, and you buy space in that newsletter, you trade space in that newsletter, that kind of thing. Now, you can also purchase ad on other people's sites and stuff, but I think if you do a trade, it's probably better. So it's virtual marketing, and every site should have some sort of virtual marketing component to it. Now, what I mean by virtual marketing is that it's marketing that compels other people to tell other people about your site. A few of the best virtual marketing tactics, okay? You can do a giveaway.
like an ebook or something. You can offer a multiple course on how to do maintenance on your car or your furnace or something. You can install a friend script, you know, pass this on to a friend. Offer sending physical greeting cards off your site. You know, write articles, which you already should be doing anyway. Publish an e-sign, which you should already be doing anyway. These are all ways that you can virtually market. Offline marketing, your website should go without saying. However, let me tell you, people just don't do it. I don't know why they don't do it. They just don't do it in any fashion way, not in any great way. However, we're going to hand out, there's a list of at least 35 top places where your web address should appear. I mean, everything from an ad to a business card to a truck to a uniform. Yes, I said uniform. Put your web address on the uniform, every invoice, on your stickers, on units. Everything should have your web address on it because that's another form of communication for you. Now, that's going to lead us to mistake number three, and that's no strategy to capture your visitors' information. Perhaps one of the biggest mistakes that I've seen so far on website owners is failing to proactively capture their visitors' name and address. I mean, after all, what is your most wanted response is to get contact with these people. Now, this is critical because once you have your visitor's name and email address, you can continue to keep in touch with them. It's like having their physical address in their home where you can do direct mail with them. Okay, now let's take a look at our two example sites and see how they do with this mistake. The first one we're going to take a look at is what is the most wanted response from let's find out what the most wanted response is from our JM site up here, okay? Let's see what he's got to say, and let's pop his site up there real quick. Bingo. Wait a minute. We've got some problems. Look at that. We've got an ad space on a website that's being given away free. This is like having a newspaper ad and then sticking somebody in 20% of your ad space for nothing. He's got a weather.com section on his website. I have no clue why. People in his local area, if they want to see the weather, they know weather.com. They're not going to go to JM Mechanical to find weather.com. That's a waste of space, and I don't get it. It's valuable space, very valuable space. I'm going to do something with that. I'm going to have a fix here for that. What's the fix? Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to remove weather.com, and I'm going to put an opt-in box for, let's say, a newsletter or energy savings tips so I can capture the first name and the email address of people coming to that website. How about that? Now I just turned a dead space that is being given away to a valuable lead-generating space on the website. Real simple stuff. Let's take a look at your nearing guy, his competitor. Bingo. What looks like an opt-in box is not. Look at that box. That box says, send us information, okay, for a service call. Many mistakes with this box. First off, it's not secured. So nobody's going to send their address, their phone number, and all that on a non-secured site. That's insane. Second thing is, no one's going to send a request through the Internet for service. What are they? Yeah, they're going to pick the phone up and they're going to call us, aren't they? Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to call us and they're going to say, we need service, blah, 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 blah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to replace that box and I'm going to put an opt-in box on there the same as I did on JM. And now what I did was I turned a dead space, useless form, into a lead capturing form. It's real simple stuff. Okay, I'm going to go through five strategies here for you. The first strategy, I just talked about them. Put an opt-in box, email opt-in. Now, of course, this assumes that you have an email service, and you really should have email services there. But put it on every page, not just the front page, every page. As your visitors roam through your content, okay, they're going to be more and more impressed, and you're going to give them more and more opportunity to give you their contact information. You're going to be able to capture that information, and it's going to continually remind your visitors that you're there to provide help and information. Here's the second strategy I'm going to give you. Place a little pop-up box if you don't, you know, even if you do put opt-in boxes, put a pop-up on there. Now, I know pop-ups, you know, are irritating. Only if you overuse them, okay? Now, my opt-in rate, okay, and what I mean by opt-in rate is the percentage of people that visit the site compared to the percentage of people that give me their contact information is 40%. That is 4 out of 10 people that visit my site give me their information. What do you think the average is for the industry? Anybody got an idea? Not even close. It's 5%. 5%. Now, I have this little fade-in hover box, and it's not intrusive. People can turn it off. Not a problem. Okay, but it works. Now, I'll use them sparingly, okay? And once they cookied into your browser, they're not going to come up again for that day. Once you close your browser, they're going to come back up again. But you can also use exit pop-ups. I don't use those, but you can use exit pop-ups. You can use pop-unders. I don't use those, but you can use those. All of this will capture your contact information. Here's another strategy, okay? Give access to helpful tools. Tools such as energy savings calculators or free access to these tools. Visitors will find useful. Find out what your clients need. Calculators for financial calculators, graphic compressors, and all kinds of, things like that that people would like to use. They'll give you their information for that. But remember, it has to be of value to them, not just you. Here's another strategy for you. How about helpful information? I already talked about that. My opt-in box offers you what? 8 deadly sins that stop sins that stop small businesses from growing. Now, I think everybody in here would like to know what those 8 are. So you're going to give me your email address, your first name, giving me permission to send you over a 16-day period. One of those, every other day I'm going to send you one of those sins. By the time we're done, hopefully I have earned I've earned your respect, and you're going to continue to let me earn your business. It's that simple. Now, if they're interested enough in your content, they're going to be gladly handing you that, right? Here's another strategy, okay? Withhold demos of products. For instance, I have a piece of software we use. And I demo it, but you're not going to get it until you give me a whole lot more of information. It's kind of like strategy 4 there, but it's a product demonstration, like Flash or some other kind of thing, where you can see the demonstration of this product, or you can get a temporary download of the software for a small period of time. You're going to see some of these strategies at work. Go to my website, practicalmarketingsolutions.com. You'll see them at work. Go to my boot camp page, and what you're going to see is a real slow pop-up come up there and says, it's going to offer you a special report of the 20 things that the top 1% of all small business owners do. It's the secrets. And, of course, that's a seminar I held, and it's actually a video seminar, and over a 20-day period, you're going to get access to 20 different videos, the seminar cut up in 20 different pieces, and I'm going to go through those 20 things that all successful business owners do. Now, each of these strategies to collect email addresses and information is offering something of value to the person. Yeah, you're baiting. Absolutely. Why not? What's wrong with that? If you're offering something of value, they're giving you something of value. It's a free trade, right? It's great. Okay. Now, I want to remind you of the average conversion is 5%. So if your sign-up rate, if you have an opt-in box, if your sign-up rate is under 5%, you need to do something stronger to capture that visitor information. Okay, with all the privacy issues flying around here, you have to have a very strong reason. And also, you have to, right in their face, say, here's my privacy policy. I don't sell your email. It's only for my use, only for our use. That's it. And I don't. Even with my joint venture program, I don't. They give me their stuff, I send it to my people. I give them my stuff, they send it to their people. They don't get the email addresses of my potential clients and clients. Right? That's going to take us to mistake number 5. We talked about content before, mind-numbing content. Oh, I can't tell you. And in the service sector businesses, let me tell you. Oh, it's like, remember strategies 3 and 4 about tools and content? Strategy 3 being helpful tools and strategy 4 being information. They don't use this at all. I'm all about education-based marketing, and you all should probably know that by now. You probably do, yeah. is the single strongest reason to give up information. People want to be educated. Now, you might want to review my video on education-based marketing. It's free. It was our newsletter for April, and you just go to the site and just view it. It's a five-minute video. Okay. But many web developers just don't know how to write copy, and you really don't need to know how to write copy in your industry. In your industry, if I was back in the HVAC business, let me tell you, I wouldn't write copy. I'd go get copy from the manufacturers, from the energy department, from all kinds of places. We're going to see some of that a little bit later. So let's go back to our examples here, and let's look at what they're doing about mistake number five. Okay, both of them look kind of okay, right? But wait, let's take a look and see what the MWR is for JM. I think it's he wants to discount his services because there's a $10 off coupon there. What's that for? Is that going to get somebody? I mean, that's kind of like saying, he's thinking, I'm going to give you a $10 coupon, so you're going to call me. It's kind of like going to the grocery store or something. I don't get that one. But nonetheless, that's what's there. And I think it's a big mistake. But that's what his most wanted response obviously is to get you to use his coupon. Okay? Now, here's the deal. What's the question that we got to answer here? Your website should be all about this. What's in it for me? Meaning the customer. What's in it for me, the customer, not what you do. It's what's in it for me, the customer. For instance, let me give you an example real quick here on that. Right off the top of the head here, how about this? How can I save on my energy bill? Or 10 ways to save on my energy bill. What I see 99 out of 100 websites doing is a here I am, what I do kind of website. I call them the field of dreams. You know, you build it, they'll come. Boom. It just doesn't work that way. Many web developers just don't get it. Why? Because they're not marketing people. Okay. Most sites provide copy that's boring and useless. And in the service business, it really seems to be bad because we're so technical. Customers aren't technical. Our technicians are technical, but customers aren't. You have to simplify it. I always had a barometer. It's real simple. If I could write a piece of information and hand it to a second or third grader and they could understand it, I did a good job. It's that simple. I'm not being condescending. That works. Now, here's some following suggestions that might just spice up some stuff here. How about include stories of real people? I'm not talking about testimonials. I'm talking about real people using real product stuff. Humans like to see inside the lives of other humans. If you don't believe that, how come we have so many of these survivor shows on television? Because people like to look in other people's lives, including real stories. Okay? They're mesmerized by them. Now, for instance, who can resist this? This isn't all that, and it's still working today. An open letter from a once flat-broke Nebraska housewife who stumbled across a business, okay, that made her rich, one that you can start for as little as $15. Now, this headline, it just almost forces you to continue to read just because it's ridiculous. But by the way, this headline was written by Dan Kennedy a long time ago. It still appears in Home Business Magazine years and years and years later, and it still works. Now, here's another suggestion. Use case studies. What do I mean by case studies? Well, you have a problem, you have a solution, and here's the results. That's a simple case study, right? First, take advantage of the effects of explaining this. Second, it demonstrates credibility by providing the ability to get results on your part. And third, it gives your reader what they want most, a glimpse of the benefits of doing business with you that you can actually perform. Now, it answers that big question, doesn't it? What's that big question? What's in it for me? Yeah, right. Okay. Here's the formula. Write this down. PSR. Problem, solution, results. PSR. Problem, solution, results. In other words, case studies should present the problem, reveal the solution, okay, and show you the results, which is exactly what I'm doing, by the way, with every single one of these mistakes. Suggestion three, use surveys, studies, graphs, charts, and evidence. Now, people aren't going to read all of them, but what it does is it lends credibility. They're not really interested in digging into these graphs, but it does lend credibility. And a fourth suggestion I have for you is use thumbnails of human. Now, what I mean by thumbnails are small pictures of humans, and they can always be blown up to bigger pictures. Okay? Because why? Pictures worth a thousand words. Don't overuse them, though. Using photos, you can convey a lot of information on a small thumbnail that can be blown up. You can use a JavaScript or some other kind of thing like that. Now, I've got another one, and this is a big one about written content. Suggestion five is short word paragraphs. What I mean by short word paragraphs, this is good in all writing. Okay? You see these paragraphs with 20 and 25 lines. People just aren't, their sea of words, can't get through it, not going to read it. Break them into 3, 4, 5 lines. Put subheadings on those lines maybe. Something like that. Smaller paragraphs. Introduce new topics during that process. Okay? And break them down into small bites and chunks. Now let's look at our example sites and run through the test. At first glance, okay, we see JM site, okay, looks like he wants what? What we said, right? Looks like he wants somebody to buy or take a coupon. But wait a minute, he's also offering something else there. Look what we got here. We've got a section down here that also says what? Heating, cooling, and air quality. Uh-oh, got a mistake. Here's a mistake. What's the mistake? People click on pictures first, not words. I can't click on this picture. It's not taking me anywhere. Big mistake. It should be linked to whatever content he has. Now, the words under the content are fine. It's a little. It's not a headline. It's just a word. It's fine. It should be a headline under there, but nonetheless. Okay, let's go click on this thing, and we're going to go to furnace, and we're going to see what happens here. Boom. Okay, takes us there. All right, so here it is, the first bullet point. Says what? This is mistake number 5, and we're going to cover it in a little while. Okay, but let's take a look at this subheading. Wow, look at this copying mistake he's made. He's limited the response right off the first one to 15-year-old and older systems. Why is that? Now, basic information is on Energy Star and energy efficiency. Why is he limiting, to 15-year-old systems? Don't 3, 4, 5, 10-year-old systems need energy efficiency too? Of course they do. So you see, that's a kind of a copyright mistake, isn't it? Okay, now all owners like to be educated, so we're going to stick with this. Take a look at that Energy Star thing. You see that link? Let's see what happens when we click on that link. Okay, we're taken from his site. Mistake, another mistake we'll talk about in a minute. But look at all the stuff on this page. Let's take a look at this stuff. What has this got to do with furnaces? What has this got to do with look at this. This is crazy stuff all over the place, isn't it? But look, wait a minute. There's a little box up here. We found this little box. What I'm going to do is type in the word furnace in that little box. Now, this is a government site. So I'm going to type in furnace, see what happens. Okay, look at all this information. Do you see all the helpful information here that he could glean? He could actually use this to do what? Solve mistake number 3, doesn't it? Sure. This company could offer valuable special reports and energy information for free to get opt-in information. Why? This is not copyrighted information. It's government. Government can't copyright information. Okay, so he can get all of this. Now, look what we got here. We click a little further. Okay, we clicked on that energy guide link. Look what we got. That's a neat page. Whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. Whoa, right at first link, I'm going, wow, we could link to this. But wait a minute. Let's take a look. Look down here. Uh-oh. What does that say? Find a contractor. Well, can't stop there. But you know what? Look up there. There's an email or a zip code box. Let's put his zip code in and see what we got. That 84326 zip code. Let's put it in. Okay? We're going to click on that, and we're going to see what we got. Booyah! Look at here. Wow! Look what we got here. Now we're getting somewhere. Look at this. Home run. Look at this calculator. Man, we're going to click on this calculator and see what we got. Wow. You could link straight to that page, pop that page up, and people could do an energy audit of their own home. Wow, how valuable is that tool? Wow. Here's my fix for both of these examples. We're going to replace these boxes right here, and we're going to put opt-in boxes with information gathering, offering them, okay, energy calculation on their home appliances. What do you think? You think that's going to work? I just turned in dead space to lead generation. Now, that's going to take us to, remember I mentioned mistake number five? Okay, mistake number five is not using compelling headlines and subheadlines. 80% of the success of any message is the headline, okay? It's no different with your website copy. The web has brought us universal access to photographs, graphics, video, all kinds of stuff. We need to basically catch the attention more so than ever before. Your visitors need dynamically involved. They need to get dynamically involved in your copy. The sole purpose of your headline should be to do what? Make your visitor want to continue to read more. Okay? Each and every page of your website should start with a compelling headline. Then it tells what's on that page, what's going on. Now, you may even want to use subheadlines to support the main headline. That's okay. We can do that. Now, throughout your copy, you should continue to use subheadlines as a way to break up that copy, remember? Why? Because web users skim more than we used to. When we're going through the web, we kind of skim real fast. And we need to, you know, you catch your head, subheadline, catch your attention. Once you get your attention, they'll stop. Read something. Now, here's three other places you should also use your headline. Testimonials, guarantees, and under photographs and captions. Remember that pick we had for heating? Should have been a headline there, not just a word. Again, people are 8 times more likely to read your content if you have a compelling headline. Having said that, well, I'm going to do something here, okay? I'm going to take that headline, and we're going to work with it, okay? We're going to go back to the JM site, and we're going to look at the heating tips page, and we're going to see what his headline says. Important tips you need to know to increase your comfort, maintain your efficiency, and protect your heating system. Anybody? Wake up. Okay, I'm going to show you a program we use in our boot camp. It's a program that all of my members have. And here it is. Cool. 4 questions. I'm going to take his information, plug it in, and watch what happens. Okay? I'm going to use his words and plug them in here in these four questions. Boom. Look at that. Thousands now increase their comfort, gain, energy, efficiency, who never thought they could. You're going to read the rest of that? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to give you a subheadline here. We're going to do it again. Bang. Okay, here we go. There it is. The truth about how to increase your comfort, save money on your energy bill. Now I used his words, and you see the difference. Now you're going to want to read this. Okay? You'll give up your email address to get that information, wouldn't you? Of course you will. Okay? This is so easy. Look at we have 11 pages of headlines off this little dinky program. It's awesome, isn't it? Okay, I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to go further in here. We're going to go to 6. This is going to bring us to 6. Confusing navigational instructions. Cyber words impatient and unforgiving. If a visitor lands on your site and they're confused about what to do, they're gone. It's that simple. Provide good navigation on your web page is a must. Simple, easy navigation on your web page. It's a must. Let's go over three simple tests here. Okay, I'm going to give you 3 steps here. First step I've already given you. It's MWR, most wanted response, correct. If your MWR is the response that you most want your visitors to have when they come to your site. Mine, I want them to give me their contact information so I can keep in touch with them. That's my most wanted response. Okay, the reasons your website exists is for your most wanted response. This might be subscribing to my newsletter or getting a special report, calling my office, something like that. I don't try to sell our products. For instance, if I was in an HVAC business, I'm not going to sell an HVAC service contract or piece of equipment on the Internet. I'm going to gain information so I can follow up with that person to prove that we're the best people to do business with. So when they're ready to buy, I'm there. Okay, whatever that is, you need to decide and you need to develop a pathway for that. Okay, now in our marketing boot camp, I go over this thing's called an ad, and it's 3 I's. you inform, involve, and you illustrate, and that leads you to your pathway. That's step number two. Provide a pathway to your MWR. When you get in there, now you divide a pathway so that you can accomplish your MWR. It's providing a pathway means strategically designing your site to lead a visitor down a specific path. Now, there are five steps in the buying action. How many of you know what the five steps are? Okay, you're all going to get, you're guessing. Let me go through them with you. Okay, first step. Remind, and write this down. This is good stuff here. Okay? Now, remind your visitor of their needs and desires. Offer the thing that fulfills their needs and desires. Third step is getting them to accept the source of the things. The fourth step is choosing you and your source as the thing. And the fifth step is what? A reason to act. Those are the five steps. Easy way to do it yourself. The first, okay, what's the first thing I want my visitors to do when they land on my site? That's the question you need to answer. Now, to me, I want them to give me their contact information because then I automatically will respond to that confidence because I have an automated response system for that, both offline and online. Now, once you've decided what that is, okay, it's much easier to design the rest of the pathway, isn't it? At each turning point in the pathway, you need to ask yourself the same question. What's the next thing I want them to do? What's the next thing I want them to do? Then design your site to help your visitors accomplish those things. Step three, provide a closing page. MWR, pathway, and now we got a closing page. Some place that closes on whatever you call a closing. Now, you're not going to sell a furnace. You're not going to sell a car repair. You're not going to sell chiropractic services over the Internet. You're not going to sell a security alarm over the Internet. All you're going to do is sell a fact that you can generate a lead so that you can get permission to contact them. So that's what your closing page wants to do, right? Your closing page should provide irresistible offer in some way. For instance, let's go back to that heating thing, okay? Now, if you wanted to offer a discount, he should offer a discount on a preseason check if they give him his email address. Why? Because then he can give them a downloadable coupon, can't he? Okay? Now, several other navigation elements you might want to include. Using the top left of the page. Why? Gaze motion. Same on a web page as anything else. Top left, bottom right. Always allow for a way to get back to your home page. Placing benefit statements on your navigation buttons. Some of my buttons say, how we can help you, okay? Who we are, why we're different. Free special reports, our typical results, instead of saying company history and those kind of things. So let's go back and look at our examples and see example sites to ask yourself if your MWR can be clearly interpreted. What's the MWR here? We really don't know, do we? Okay? And we really don't know here. Okay, what's the MWR here? An ideal replace, and I'm going to replace this little box right here, and I'm going to put an MWR response. What's my response? I want to gain something from them. What? I want to gain contact information. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a $400 cash rebate limited time offer if they'll give me their name, their phone number, and type of equipment maybe they have, and their email address. There you go. That takes that dead space and makes it what? A lead gathering space. Remember these three things again. Write them down. MWR, most wanted response, pathway, and closing page. That leads us to what? That leads us to mistake number seven. Use of annoying and overwhelming graphics. Boy, I can't tell you how bad that is. I see so much nonsense in overwhelming and graphics can be subtle but overwhelming. Many web developers just can't resist the temptation to put flash on and overwhelming animated GIFs and all these kind of pictures and all this kind of thing. However, it's been shown in many user interface tests, overwhelming graphics can have a very negative effect on user experiences. Now, it doesn't mean video because that's something they use, but I'm going to talk about video because there is a way you can irritate with video and audio. Okay. With that said, okay, there's an appropriate time to use flash graphics, and it ain't on your front page. For instance, If you have a process that you go through, flash graphics might work for you, but video works better. Flash, you know, you can create a flash presentation or whatever. Or if you want to demo a product, flash can work that way too, but video also works that way. However, using flash video is better than just flash, and using a flash video is better than Windows Media video. It loads streaming, it streams easier, it's more consistent, it doesn't stop, start, stop, start, stop, start, and those kind of things. So that's a little bit of free stuff there. Now, use of blinking graphics, these are called animated GIFs. Try not to, unless you want to point somebody in a direction or something, maybe you might do that. But in fact, as I mentioned above, if you want a visitor to do something, you might put, you know, I don't, but you might want to put a little arrow going point here, or whatever. I'm not sure. But don't overuse photos either. I have seen a lot of graphic photos being overused. As a matter of fact, the JM site, to me, has way too many. It's too busy. It's got too many graphics on it, as far as I can see. But that's going to take us to mistake number 8. And, of course, only boring specs and data to describe your products or service. Perhaps the number one sin in marketing is being boring. Okay? Now, you can't be boring and expect to get people's attention, let alone hold their attention. Remember the three I's? Okay. Now, I consult to the service industry, and they're notorious. You guys are notorious. We all are. We're technical people, and we're notorious for boring, boring, boring. Now, let's take a look at nearing. Boom. That is so boring. Nobody's going to search through that. Okay. Here's an example of that. Service, what we see. Look, this is a what we do, not a what's in it for me. Boring. Worse yet, there's no help here on this page. None, really. And he thinks he's probably giving people some helpful information. I'm going to take a look here, and we're going to work with this a little bit here. That's the air quality. Air quality is important in the HVAC business. But look, let's take a look at what's behind it. Boring. Look at this stuff. There's no compelling nothing here. Now, if we want to beef this subheadings up, we've already seen how we can do that. Put one of these subheadings on the front page, and then you're going to have something going on. Now, I'm going to take this air quality, because this is a really good area that could be fixed. This indoor air quality thing, we're going to go and we're going to do a search. Look what happens. We put in Google, we put in indoor air quality EPA, and bam, look at that website, pop right up. Look at all that information from the EPA. Now, this isn't from the other part. This is from another part of the EPA site. Look at here. Indoor Air Plus label for homes. Wow. That's something that could really catch an attention. You can take that graphics and catch attention with it on your site, right? It's not copyrighted. Keep in mind, this is government stuff. Here's several additional tips for levying your website copy. Okay. Let me start with this one. Number one, okay? Show an action photo of your customer enjoying the product. Okay, people want to visualize life, what life's like using your service as a product. If they can see someone else enjoying the benefits, it makes it easier for them to visualize themselves. Okay? This is a secret behind successful infomercials, by the way. And here's another tip. Use benefit-oriented captions. The third most looked-at area of my website, okay, after the catching graphics and headlines, will be the captions under the graphics. So make sure there's benefit there. For example, if you display a photo of your warehouse on your website, you might want to say, let's put a caption in there. Company, let's say JM Mechanical, state-of-the-art warehouse, using most sophisticated fulfillment process available to deliver your equipment. I'm going to give you another tip. Display testimonials, just a couple of them. Don't overwhelm. But when you display testimonials, use pictures. People like to see who's giving you the testimonial. That's always, and then under the testimonial, you put your little headline under there. Okay. Also, make sure that the testimonial is specific to your USP, unique selling position. Try to make sure it's done that. By this, I mean that your testimonial should testify to the fact that your products or services really do deliver what your USB says it delivers. Another one would be flash demos, or I would suggest flash video or audio to explain your products. Okay? The internet was made to be an interactive media. Use it as an interactive media. If you're just providing text to persuade your visitors to buy from you, I think you're at a great disadvantage here. Consider including audio and video to present your products. Take a look at, there's an audio on my site. You click on it, boom, above it's a video. Here's the video. I display this video on my site. This is the videos that are above it. There's two different videos. They're streaming, they're easy to put on, they're easy to use with today's technology. Insert full motion videos using flash technology. It's real easy. I use GoDaddy.com and I can record right there. Just take my webcam and I can record what I want to record. Now, sticking with the indoor air quality solutions thing, we're going to look back at the fourth link on, and we're going to go here and we're going to take a look at a company called April Air. Why? Because April Air you're all familiar with April Air. So we're going to see what they've got. Boom! Look at the graphics there. Very clean, very easy. Look how easy it is to navigate. Comfort, health, energy savings, protection, preservation. Great idea here, right? Well, maybe you don't use April Air, but that's okay. So who do you use? JM, we can't find any manufacturer. Let's take a look at Nearing. Well, we can't seem to find anything for Nearing either. All right, look, I was a Bryant dealer for a long time. Matter of fact, 25 years. Let's go to Bryant. Let's take a look at Bryant. I'm just going to see what I can find. I'm looking for something I can use to produce something that gives indoor air quality. Look at this. That's a PDF. Wow. I could glean that information. I could turn that into a little bit of a page or graphics there, couldn't I? I could actually use that as a download if somebody wanted to download it by giving me their email address. Look at this stuff. This stuff right here. This is really good stuff. Look at this. Visitor, give me their information for that. I'm going to go to another site now. Let's somebody in York. Okay, let's go to York. Let's see if what we can find. Boom! Look at that. York's got the same kind of thing. Look at this PDF. There's a lot of PDFs out here. Okay, see the same kind of dealer. You can glean this information, put it on your site. This is pretty good stuff, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, you could actually use this as a download, couldn't you? Now, here's something I want to talk to you about, basically. I want to recap this. Display videos, audios. You can use PowerPoints, okay? Remember what I said about media on your site. Real quick, let's visit my site. Here it is. Look at all the video I've got on my site. There are some 40 different videos on my site, and every month I add one or two more, especially one with our video newsletter. My site's all about educating my visitors. Because an educated prospect is my best prospect, and it beats out my competition. My job is to educate you, not just on what I do, but educate you on what you need. That's my job, and that's what I want to do.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each presentation. Please feel free to give us a call with your comments. The Small Business University audio series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, please give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Or check out our website, www.grandyassociates.com. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.